So this morning, our theme is following on from the summer Sundays. And I think this is the third one because you guys all went away, absconded last week and had a barbecue, for goodness sake. See what you do when we're away? But before that, when you were being sensible, Sarah was sharing. Where's Sarah? There she is. God bless Saint Sarah. And what were you sharing on, Sarah? She wrote to me, told me. She shared on the Holy Spirit, who is a revealer. He reveals himself. He reveals his treasure. He reveals his secrets to us through his scripture, through his son, and through his spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the revealer of mysteries to us. And so that we can know God and we can know his purposes. She may have said something roughly like that. And if she didn't, that was a good substitute, wasn't it? Although what she probably said was way better, of course. And I'm waiting for the MP3, but it's not arrived yet. And then Liz was speaking a couple of weeks ago about the God who sends us. You see, when you get so full of light and life in a way that I've just described, how can you keep that to yourself? How can you? How can you be a lighthouse on a hill filled with lumens and shut that all away? You can't. It has to sneak out somehow. We have to leak. And we do. You know, whether you're trying or not, you leak what's inside. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, it's got to come out. And God wants it to come out. And not only does he want it to come out in our day-to-day life, he's purposeful. And there are times of commission and sending and given a task and going. And so Liz may have been talking something around about that. He knows us. He knows our strengths and our limitations with and without him. And he'll never give us something that is beyond our ability to accomplish. And so that sobers us when we feel threatened or fearful or just downright wanting to say, "No, Lord," which doesn't actually go together. But he knows us, and he knows what we're able. So when he calls us, he has equipped us and enabled us. And there are some pretty amazing callings in his word, which I'm sure we will be unveiling and uncovering. But this morning, our theme is the Holy Spirit who imparts, who gives out. And he gives to us, and he gives through us. And Anna's going to come and share a little bit some very day-to-day experiences in her workplace and then also in our holiday time. Just going to share a little bit about the Holy Spirit who imparts. So we're ready to receive her? Okay, here we go.
So I've even got good morning on this beautiful sunny day, which is not yet. But I think it probably will be, and hasn't it been wonderful weather? Almost worth the long, cold spring, waiting for it to come, wasn't it? But what a wonderful worship we've had this morning, haven't we? God is so good, and God is with us, and God knows us, and God hears us. And these are some of the things I just want to share about this morning. How many of us know that God is speaking with us all the time? And how many of us know that we can approach God with confidence and boldness? And there's one member of our congregation who really does know that, and he's called Robert Hutchison, and he's about 3. And his mum told me, I don't know if Fiona's here, she's maybe with the upstairs. But she told me about Robert sitting on the bus with her one day, and they were going into Edinburgh, he's on the bus, and he just said, "Jesus, the bus is very full right now." And Fiona said, that's really nice, Robert, that you can talk to Jesus on the bus, and he's very interested. And you know, children, they don't have any hang-ups. Another thing from Robert, actually, I think we should get Robert speaking next week, was that one day he said, "Mum, why are we going to kids group today? Why don't we just go to heaven and talk to Jesus?" So, you know, he had that assurance, he's got boldness, he knows Jesus is right with him all the time. He can converse with him at any time. And how many of us know that God has given us his Spirit and that it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead who lives inside us. He knows us, he knows our hearts, he knows our hearts' cry, and he empowers us to walk with him. I'm just going to share a bit about, just before the end of term, some things that happened to me, quite significant. I had three significant God moments, if you will. I'm a teacher, so at the end of term, here's three things that kind of happened. The first was I'd had a pretty awful fourth-year class, about 18 of them, and I was coming to the end of, I'm a maths teacher, of 2 years' worth of teaching them, and I was just saying, Lord, it would be so good if we could just finish well. This has been really hard work, but it would be good just to finish well, just enjoy each other at the end, leave each other in peace and not in turmoil. And the Lord gave me an idea, just to write a little word for each of them on a little piece of paper, something about their name, just an encouragement about who they are, and sort of best wishes for the future. So when they came in for the last lesson, they got their little word, and there was this sort of stunned sort of reaction, and one of them said, "Oh, miss, you really love us, don't you? Were we your favourite class?" And I said, "Well, I do love you, but actually, you were my worst class I've ever had in 10 years." And then they began to apologize. Oh, I'm really sorry. Yes, so we were. I'm really sorry that you had to send us out. And not only was it a good end, but there was reconciliation there. There was real love between us. Just from that simple thing, and I honestly did it in about 15 minutes. I looked up all the names quickly on Google and scribbled something down and printed it out just before they came. It was as quick as that from the Lord. The next thing was, one day I was driving to work, and I just felt I should pray for healing for my colleague who's in the classroom across the road, Rachel. She's a younger teacher. And she'd been struggling with earache for a few days and was going to be flying to Australia for a holiday, and was a bit worried about her ear. So I thought, and it was so strong, and I'm not really that bold. She's not a Christian. But it was such a strong impression that I really thought, I'm just going to go right in there and say, "Morning, Rachel, I think God wants me to pray for your ear." And so off I went into the school. And but she wasn't there. And within sort of half an hour, I found out that the night before she'd actually had an accident where she chopped off the top of her finger, just down to the, it's horrible, down to the bottom of her nail. And that the Lord wanted to heal her, obviously, her fingers. So you know, it was a God saying, "You pray." And so we did pray. It took a couple of days for her to have surgery, but they think they've saved the nail bed at least, so she'll grow a nail again, and that was good. And then the last day of term, the night before, we were in upper room, our upper room group, and I just had the impression of a young man from a senior class. He's been a bit of a troublemaker over the years, and I've taught him for a few years. So we've talked a bit, and I know he doesn't know his real father, and his mother separated from his stepfather. And I just felt the Lord wanted me to tell him that God is his father, that he's his father, that he has a father in heaven who'll always be there, who won't let him down, and that he's a special son. And I thought, okay, Lord, well, you're going to have to set that one up. So the next day was the last day of term. I only had one scheduled class, which was his class. There's 28 of them, but being the last day of term, only 4 of them turned up. So so that was handy, and he was one of them, so that was also handy. So at the end of the lesson, I just said, "Connor, have you got a minute just to hang around at the end? This is really random." But I got a chance to share that and asked if I could pray, and he just bowed his head, and we prayed for a moment. And it was really lovely, it was really God. And I told him that God was his father and he was his special son. So now, Chris and I are just back from our first trip to Israel. Chris has wanted to do this for 30 years, and although I love the Bible and historical places and the sun, I hadn't thought about it with the same sort of passion that Chris has. So I began to think, well, what do I want to gain from this trip? And I thought, actually, I want more of those moments that I've just had in school. That's what I want. I want Jesus. I want him to set me up. I want these Holy Spirit moments. I want to touch people. I want to bring reconciliation and forgiveness and love and healing to people. And since we're literally going to be walking where Jesus walked, it gave an exciting slant to the trip. I thought, yeah, I'm going to go there and I'll have an impartation. And we don't have to go, obviously, to Israel. But just since we were there, I'll just keep that in mind. Lord, you were here. This is what you did. Help me to walk with you like this. So the night before we left, I was watching a DVD called Father of Lights. Put your hand up if you've heard of that. Okay, so there's a series of three DVDs about basically people who are really good at this, about taking the Holy Spirit and his love out there, praying for people on the street, powerful, powerful things happening. And this is the third one. And just the very last thing that happens is a chap called Todd White, and he's in Jerusalem, and he's praying for healing for a chap at the Damascus Gate. And there's a really amazing story, and he's healed, and it's really great. So I just thought, yeah, Lord, that's the kind of thing I want. I'm going to be in Jerusalem and just do it in me for the future as well. So off we went. We went from Nazareth to Capernaum. We went to Lake Galilee. We got stuck in a boat in Lake Galilee, if you read my Facebook page. We did lots of fun things. We went to Jerusalem. We went to the Pool of Siloam. We went to the Western Wall. We went to the Temple Mount. We were at Gethsemane, Golgotha, so impacting, and the Garden Tomb, which may or may not have been the actual tomb that Jesus walked out of, but it's very like it anyway. And all the time I was thinking, Jesus was here. Jesus was here. Could have graffitied it all. Jesus was here. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in me, is at work in us, Romans 8:11. And also that God wants us who believe to know his incomparably great power. That's Ephesians. And as Liz said, we're sent by Jesus to carry that with us wherever we are, friends, family, colleagues, city, and to the nation too. And then on the last Sunday of the trip, we were walking from the Garden Tomb back to the old city of Jerusalem when an older lady basically grabbed my arm, and I thought she wanted me to help her with her bag. She was kind of struggling a bit. But she didn't. She wanted me to pray. She wanted us to pray for her to be healed. She just said, oh, okay. So... And she was a bit bent over, she was rubbing her back. And so we did. So we prayed for her. She spoke French. So I think that's what she meant, because her French isn't very good. We tried a little bit. But whatever, there we were praying for this lady for her back, for arthritis. It was a Muslim Arab area, so they were kind of looking, but that was okay. So we laid hands on her, we hugged her, we took photos, we shared addresses, and then we left. And then when I looked round, I thought, this is exactly the same spot on that DVD that chap had prayed for the other guy. I thought, you know, the Lord does know us. He hears our heart cry. He hears what we're saying. And that was a literal answer. Another day, we went to pray at the Western Wall. We met at the barrier. Don't know if you're allowed to do that. Chris was on the man's side. I was on the lady's side, and we sort of whispered to each other through the barrier and prayed to each other, prayed for her family. It was a really special time. But then when I went away, this is how daft I am, really, I thought, oh, I forgot to pray for my mum. And that's the thought that came to me. Then I thought, that's really silly. I can pray for my mum any time. And I know that's a silly thought, Lord, and just went away. But the next day, we were up on the Temple Mount and ended up again actually being prayed for by a really nice guy. And he turned and he said to me, "What's your mother's name?" I said, "Nobody's ever prayed for me and said, 'What's your mum's name?'" And I just thought, "Oh Lord, you hear me, you've heard me, you know my thoughts, you know my inmost being." Such an amazing God that we have. He's a real Father. He knows our heart, hears our heart cry, and he meets us there. And he can maneuver events, he can maneuver people, he can set us up, and he set us up, didn't he, Chris? Big time. There's a sign, though, as you approach the Temple Mount, there's one way in, you have to queue up. And and it says this, it's basically a severe warning. I looked at it and I thought, are we supposed to actually go here then? And it says this, it says, entry is forbidden and carries a heavenly death penalty. So I thought, oh, okay, according to the Torah signed by the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. So basically, we don't think you're allowed to even set foot anywhere near the stones up there. So I thought, well, yeah, he's right. But he didn't read the end of the book, did he? So once it was true, but not anymore. So Hebrews 10:18 tells us that we've been forgiven, and specifically, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain that is his body. And we're welcomed into the courts of the King. The door is open by Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There were more signs which I thought were quite funny. Every time it was a holy place, you had to cover your shoulders. So I don't know if you realize, but if I do that, then I'm not holy anymore. But if I do that, then I'm quite holy. So now I'm not holy. Now I'm holy. And I thought, wait a minute. And the Lord was just reminding me, you know, I am holy. I am holy. I am blameless. I am absolutely acceptable, faultless in his sight, because he's made me that way. And yes, we should dress modestly, that's okay, but it doesn't mean I'm not holy. And I had a situation as well where a man wouldn't shake my hand, and he explained why, and that was fine. But in that moment, when you feel rejected, the Lord reminded me, no, you are completely acceptable to me, to the King of Kings, no matter what anyone else wants to say or think about you. And another sign which came across quite often was silence. Shh. You know, this is a holy place, be silent. And so we thought that was quite funny as well. especially outside one church with in big bold letters it said, "No explanations in the church." So, what? And what that actually meant was, please don't take your guide in with you to give you a guided tour, but still, no explanations in the church, so we've got to all go out in the street and get explained to. So. Anyway, but that wasn't at the Garden Tomb, and it wasn't, interestingly enough, also at the Western Wall, where the Jews met with their families. And that right there was a lot of noise, a lot of community, a lot of family, a lot of things all going on at once. There were families, in fact, one Jewish guy described the three areas as, well, that's the men's section, that's the women's section, and that's the section where you say, "I'll see you in 15 minutes." and that was it. And there was lots of noise, movement, family chat, and prayer, all mixed in, all at the same time. And that's our heritage, much more than shh. So so just to sum up, what I wanted to share is that God knows us. He knows us inside out. He hears our thoughts. He hears the cry of our hearts, that we're welcomed, we're acceptable to the most holy place to converse, and we can talk with him daily. And Jesus, like Liz said, is sending us out to walk in his steps, to do what he did. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, which is imparted through us, to bring that forgiveness and reconciliation and love. And what fun that's going to be. It's just really exciting when that lady grabbed me. And like Liz said, you know, I wouldn't actually have gone up to her and said, oh, do you want me to pray for you? Maybe one day you'll grow into that. But, you know, the Lord didn't make it harder than it needed to be. Actually, it was easy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, isn't it? So she came up to me. And so I just want to finish with three scriptures. So Acts 2:17 says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. My Hebrew is really great, and all means all. So yeah, this is for all of us. 1 John 3:24 says this, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. Gave means it's a gift. We didn't earn it and we don't deserve it, but he's given each of us his Holy Spirit. And lastly, Ephesians 2:22. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So that's you too, me too, and you too. Okay, thank you.